Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, October 13th, 2011. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, this week we head to Hattiesburg, Mississippi to visit the Keg and Barrel Brew Pub, where they hosted the second annual Outlaw Homebrew Competition. We'll talk to organizers, participants, and winners. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. And we have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you this show, and we appreciate your support greatly. Don't forget, there is now an amazon.co.uk link on there, too, immediately below the American version. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on the site, too. You can find our iPhone and Android podcast apps on those respective stores, and we're on the BlackBerry podcast directory now, too. One addendum this week, or one kind of change to our collaborative experiment on yeast, or not yeast, but the fermenter shape. We decided to push it back a little bit. The deadline was a bit tight. We got some feedback from some of you who said that you didn't think you were going to be able to make it. So instead of, I believe it was November 14th being the deadline, we're going to push it back a couple of weeks to November 28th. That's the Monday after Thanksgiving. So that will give you some time to get your beer done. And maybe Zon O'Connor is one who suggested if you want to do some taste tests, to test the results of your experiment, maybe you can do that with some of your family at your house. So we're encouraging you to use at least a couple of different shaped fermenters, whether it be a plastic bucket and a glass carboy or a better bottle or whatever you want to do. Just split a batch of wort into identical volumes and ferment those in separate containers and see what you come up with. Keep track of all the details of your brew, your gravities, the fermentation times, the lag times, and then, of course, all your sensory observations as well. And I will let you know when the form is up for you to post your results on our site. And we appreciate everybody who is going to be participating. Be sure to check out the feed for Basic Brewing Video. You'll see a video episode that I shot down in Hattiesburg, where you'll go on a tour of the brewing system down there at the Keg and Barrel, one of the smallest production volume brew pubs in the country. You may have a bigger volume capacity at your house, in fact. Also, you'll see the goings-on at the Outlaw Homebrew Competition and Festival, where not only were beers judged by judges, but members of the public were invited to sample some wonderful homebrews, so you'll get to see that as well. And there's something special in the feed this week, the video feed this week. There's a musical extra in connection with the video podcast. Johnston is a blues musician from Memphis that was playing at the event. And among the instruments that Richard plays is a homemade guitar that consists of a cigar box, broomsticks, scraps of wood, and other things all put together. Richard Johnston really makes that thing sound good, and he plays drums with his feet while he's playing the guitar and singing. Anyway, he's extremely talented, and while I was shooting video there, I asked Richard to play a song that was in the public domain so I could use that as background music in the podcast, and he was kind enough to do that. And, you know, I got home and I looked at that video and I thought it was just a waste to use that performance just as background. So I have edited that song into a standalone clip, and you can find that on the iTunes Basic Brewing Video feed on basicbrewingvideo.com in the description of this episode, on our Facebook page, on our if you go to youtube.com/basicbrewing, you can find it there too. And if you own our app, you can just click on the link connected to the episode in that app. Just look for Richard Johnston's name on the screen there when you're watching or about to watch this week's video episode. So anyway, and I appreciate Richard Johnston letting me share that clip. He's very talented, and he worked his rear end off that day. Well, let's jump right into the meat of the matter, shall we? You've heard John Neal and Sam Sorrells on this podcast before. John is the owner of the Keg and Barrel in Hattiesburg, and Sam is the brewer. And a few weeks ago, John contacted me and invited me down to cover this event. I thought it was a great idea because I've been wanting to see Sam's brewing setup, and I wanted to give some publicity to the efforts to legalize home brewing down there in Mississippi. I had a lot of fun, and I said many times when I was down there that I wish I had a keg and barrel or something exactly like it within walking distance of my house, because it's a really cool place, and I talked to a lot of folks. Speaking of a lot of folks, here's what you'll hear today. First, you'll hear Sam and John. Then you'll hear last year's competition winner, now professional brewer Will Brown. And after that, we'll have Lucas Simmons, Brad Lovejoy, and Chris McNeese, who will talk about a running challenge connected with beer that they're undertaking. And they'll also talk about the upcoming competition that they'll be their homebrew club will be hosting, which will be sanctioned by the AHA. After that, Butch Bailey will bring us up to speed with Raise Your Pints, the group that is trying to reform the beer laws in Mississippi. And we'll talk to this year's winner of a stack of awards, including the whole darn thing, Ben Green. We went from Will Brown to Ben Green. So I wonder if Colonel Mustard will be in the running next year. Well, John Neal, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming to Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
And Sam Sorrells, good to see you in person.
Hello.
Well, here we are. We're about to, here in a few minutes, embark upon an endeavor of questionable legality. Is that what's going to happen?
I would say yes. We're on the cusp of, I would say, breaking the law. It's unfortunately illegal to homebrew in Mississippi, and a couple of years ago, we decided we thought it'd be a great idea, considering the issues that we would throw a great festival and have a big homebrew festival, and this is our second annual, and it looks like it's a beautiful day, and looks like we're going to have a hell of a turnout.
So, it is called the Outlaw Homebrew Competition, and it is, I guess, literally that. If you look at the law and you see that it's illegal to brew beer at home, you know, the people who are participating are, I guess, outlaws and breaking the law and flaunting it in the face of the authorities here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Why or do you get any sort of reluctance to get involved in the contest, or, you know, is there any fear that there's going to be a federal van, a black federal van driving up and, you know, rounding everybody up inside, or what?
Yeah, if a bunch of guys with a jacket show up with three letters on those, we're in trouble. But theoretically, we're good. You know, I mean, again, we're trying to push the limits, but not too far. My assumption is we would have had some phone calls before now, and of course we probably would have not had the festival because I'm not an idiot.
You're not a martyr to the you're not going to throw yourself on the fire,
right? But yeah, it's with the homebrewers and the craft beer people, they absolutely love it. And there's some other people that kind of look at me like I'm nuts, but they will continue to look as like, you know, look at me like I'm nuts, and that's just kind of how it is.
Last year we had questions by the participants about the legality, but I haven't had the first question this year.
Sure.
But that being said, I do have loose pants on and my running shoes, just in case.
I was wondering where the first part of that was going.
Well, the wonderful thing is that we have several lawyers in attendance that home brewed, and I believe we have an officer or two that I don't know if they're actually brewing, but my GM took care of signing everybody up. But there are definitely some Hattiesburg police officers here, which is wonderful.
I'd be surprised if we don't have a state representative show up at some point.
We actually will have a state representative show up. So, yeah, we're as legit as you can be breaking the law, I assume. I don't, whatever that means.
Is it a matter of just pretending that it's legal until people just think it is?
I think that's kind of my theory. It's, you know, nobody's told us we can't do it, so we do it. And I've never seen the law. I mean, I don't know if it's legal or not. I mean, it actually is illegal. But the irony is that, you know, you can make wine in Mississippi. It, you know, there's no rhyme or reason.
When the 21st Amendment was ratified, they as a typo, it said home wine and or beer, and the and or beer was left off. So it was not legal until the Cranston Act that Jimmy Carter signed, and then we just never made it legal after that in Mississippi. You know, federally it's legal, but not in Mississippi.
And that was like, what, 79, 78, when Carter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it just never got ratified here. And but as far as I know, I mean, they you know, home winemaking is very widespread, but the home beer, it's kind of hush-hush. We don't have any local homebrew shops that sell supplies, so we either have to order or go out of state for it.
And we do actually supply a lot of homebrewers with grain. Sam, you know, they'll call us and say, hey, I need, you know, 5 pounds of this, that, and the other, and we always, of course, help them with that.
Yeah.
So you said earlier that you may be the only legal homebrewing operation in the state because you've got a basically a Brutus 10 system.
Right.
We'll talk about your system.
Well, I mean, it's a Brutus 10. It's based off the Brutus 10. It's not as shiny and pretty as the Brutus 10. I didn't do it on stainless steel, but I built it for home, and then when the brew pub idea came to us, we just moved it up here and started with kegels, and since have upgraded to the 30-gallon megapots, and it's served us well. It's been going, we're going on 4 years now.
Are we?
Yeah.
Is it 4 years?
Four years
in December.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun. And we celebrate. We always we do a big brew day, a couple of, you know, a month out, and we do the December 5th. We always have our big the celebration of the ending of Prohibition. And actually, I think the first, when we were on your podcast originally, we talked about this, but Sam and I had set a date for, hey, we're going to open, you know, December 5th of '08, and of course the paperwork work took a hell of a lot longer than I thought. And Sam came to me and said, "We can't legally do this." And I was like, "Well, screw it! We've told everybody we're doing it, so we did it." And
the state told us that we were going to be legal at that time. They said, "You know, this is the date you're going to be legal." So we made all the plans for it, and then something, you know, as legal paperwork always goes, something took longer, and
we sold for about a month and a half, and then I got a phone call from the ABC.
Well, we literally
sold everything that we had made up to that point in one night, and then you know, by the time we ginned up again enough beer. We were legal by then.
Get the phone call. Mr. Hill, are you brewing beer? Yes, sir. Are you legal? I said, yes, sir. We're working on the paperwork as we speak. So, yeah, we shut her down for a month or so, and then
they got their taxes
back
on it. I paid taxes on it.
That's right.
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm watching this Ken Burns documentary on Prohibition on PBS now, and you know, it's almost like stepping back in time, you know, coming down here, and you guys are, You know, like the, you know, the government officials used to go to the speakeasies, you know, back in the Prohibition days, and it was kind of a wink and a nod, you know, that they knew it wasn't legal, but we'll just do it anyway. And so it's kind of interesting that you know, you, I guess it's you in Alabama that the homebrewing is still illegal. They raised the cap last year. Or was it last year?
Yeah. It's been about 2 years.
Yeah, time flies. so you guys still are suffering under the 5% cap, and you're working on that, and you got the double whammy of the homebrew illegalization. You can't exactly go around the law with the 5% like you're doing with the homebrew, though.
Well,
don't get yourself in trouble, John.
we play around with that also, just, you know, slightly. You know.
Well, they've told me I can brew anything I want to brew. I just can't sell it. So, you know, it's you have to be prepared when the law does change. So, I mean, we have played around with it, but all of our beers. I don't find it hard to stay under the cap. And matter of fact, for brew pubs, we're under an older law yet. We're limited to 4% by weight, and instead of 5% like everybody else. So, and even then, I don't have a problem staying legal, because there's just so many brew styles, beer styles with wheats and pale ales that fit in that cap.
So how many beers have been entered this year?
We've had a couple of late entries. I believe at this point we have 39 brewers and call it 76 beers. Mm-hmm. So that eclipsed last year, and we really weren't sure if we were going to be able to do it again or you know do that well. I know we'll have a lot more participants here. Last year I was very concerned about outselling the beer and selling too many tickets. This year we have a tremendous amount of beer.
So you know, so in the grand scheme of things, it's not one of the bigger homebrew competitions. But considering that it is in a state where it's not legal, I think that's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be shocked if there's not 400 people here. And you know, and of course, people can't see the pub, but they can obviously. Hopefully, you'll do a little video casting later. It's a small place. That's a lot of people. St. Patrick's Day now we'll have about 1,000 people here. But
that's our biggest day of the year. And you know, it's funny, we didn't start advertising St. Patty's Day as our day. People just started coming to our place without us saying we're a pub or we're doing something special for St. Patty's Day. We were. For a few years there, we were asking ourselves, where are these people coming from? Because some of them we've never seen before, and they show up on that day. So then we've turned it into a big event and host more people.
Well, it's a really cool establishment. As I said many times last night, probably, I wish there was one of these within walking distance of my house, because it is an old house. Would you say 1904 is when it was built?
And 1905, and it was a residence up until 1995, and then it was purchased by a lady that turned it into it was a florist gift shop for 10 years, and then we moved in 2005. So we're the third residence, I suppose.
Well, it's cool. It's good food and good beers, or at least as good as you guys can get. And no, you do well within the restrictions. I mean, there's a good selection. Since you guys did the first Mississippi homebrew competition last year, there have been a couple more, right?
Yeah, Hops and Habanos in Jackson, they did one. It was a little smaller than ours, but they hosted it for Jackson. They've got another one planned, I think, in a month from now in Jackson. So, yeah, we kind of opened the door for other people to do homebrew competitions. Before that, homebrewers in the state were going to Memphis and Nashville and you know, to compete. So it's nice having one in our backyard.
And the more of these, I guess Barrett at the bar was saying that if you look at the website for their competition, it's pretty much the same rules and regulations as your competition. But I guess, you know.
Actually, yeah, I faxed them our rules and regulations.
Oh, well, there's a reason, right? Yeah. So, but that's, you would think that the more of those that happen, the less unusual or the less mysterious that homebrewing is going to become.
Yeah, well, theoretically, I mean, one of my concerns is that it gets so much publicity that somebody has a problem with it. But, you know, that's, we'll see.
Interestingly enough, we have a craft beer week in Mississippi. Our governor decreed it the whole week, craft beer week. And it says in the decree about homebrewing, its contribution to craft beer. And I found it ironic that, you know, they made that point. They put it in there, but homebrewing is still illegal.
My assumption that the governor didn't realize that it was illegal. I mean, obviously, because I don't think he would have probably made that statement.
I think Craig, one of our Razor Pint guys, yeah, actually wrote the decree, and our governor signed it.
So, but he was a supporter of Razor Pint, so we appreciated him, hate it didn't pass while he was in office.
Now, this competition, you know, I've helped judge in a couple of you know, BJCP sanctioned competitions. And this is structured differently. I mean, and usually you send three beers to a competition, and then those are used to judge in the various rounds. But you guys have kind of a different setup.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's all about building the culture, and you know, if you have one beer or six beers, we don't care. Bring them. Mm. Let's taste them. Some of them are crap. Some of them were fantastic. Some of them are crap. But, you know, I mean, it's all about, for us, building the culture, building the camaraderie. Sam actually, you know, set up all the rules and regulations for judging. We've got 15 judges from all over South Mississippi. A couple from Louisiana, and we've got homebrewers from, I think we've got homebrewers from Florida, from Texas. So it's you know, I really. When the law changes, I mean, the fact is, it's you know, it's hard to advertise for this event. It's really by word of mouth, Facebook. When it does change, because it will change, I mean, I see this becoming a very large function that we possibly, as large as our property is, you know, something we can't handle, and that would be fantastic.
But it's designed for as a public event, whereas most competitions that you enter, the only people who taste the beers are the judges themselves. But you guys I believe the official rules, if I remember correctly, say that you enter 12 bottles of beer, right? And that way they get to be shared out with the rest of the attendees to the event?
They have to bring that much beer to share with the attendees of the event. And we judge the same day of the event rather than beforehand. Which is very different than other contests. But the difference this year from last year is that we're giving them feedback loosely based on the BJCP rules, and loosely based on that. I wanted to change the scoring a little bit, so not to imply that we were BJCP sanctioned. And so... We go through, there's six categories of beers, and the winners of those categories, the top three beers, will be judged overall by three different judges. And so we can have category winners and overall winners by the end of the day.
So it's not sanctioned by the Beer Judge Certification Program, BJCP. Is that because of the legal status of homebrewing?
No, I think the first year we did it, we had no idea the number of people we would have. If we had known, we probably would have sought out, you know, that status. But then again, being a state with no homebrewing laws, we don't have any that I know of BJCP judges. Mm. So I'm sure we have some in the state. I just don't know any of them. I've studied the coursework. I'd love to take the test, but you normally have to go to a contest to take the test, where there are judges that are certified to give the test. So I think that's probably in our future. Try to get sanctioned, or at least one event for the state that's sanctioned, and that we can start certifying judges.
Yeah, so even if the BJCP blessed the the American Homebrewers Association blessed the event, you would have to import the judges to.
Right.
and I'm sure that there are probably certified and recognized judges out there in Mississippi listening right now, saying I'd come, but or you know the neighboring states. You guys are on the. I mean, one thing to think about is you guys are on the ground floor. I mean, you're just getting started.
Well, exactly. I mean, you just like anything. I mean, you know, 7 years ago when we started this place, it's not the same place, and this will not be the same function in 5 years. I mean, I really want it to always be a festival, and then you know if we could you know be certified, that would be just a plus.
I know of one judge on the. He lives on the coast. It's funny, you know, the guys come through the pub and they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm a BJCP." I didn't know we had any in the state. So we do have one on the coast, and I would only venture a guess that Graham Cox, who won national for a lager, he lived in Meridian, but he's since moved. I would imagine that he was certified as well, made a you know, big splash on the national scene, a home brewer in a state that doesn't allow home brewing.
Well, guys. Any predictions? Any last words? Any where are we going to be next year or 2 years from now, or you know what's the forecast?
I think we'll in a year or 2 years we'll be up to 80, 100 homebrewers. Hopefully get to 500, 600, 700, 800 attendees. And then for me the what I take out of all this is you know. The homebrewers that attend next year are most likely not homebrewing now. And then for me and for Sam and for both of us, that's what's really important to me is just creating, being the craft beer place and kind of setting the standard and developing the culture.
And being a state with probably the lowest, if not the lowest, one of the lowest, per capita, breweries per capita. I'd like to see, you know, it's a pie in the sky dream there, but we've seen one home brewer go professional from last year. I would imagine we'll see more. Mississippi has nowhere to go but up. So in craft beer. So I hope to see that. And that'll certainly improve our beer choices in Mississippi.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys, and thanks for having me down, inviting me down, and can't wait to see the event, hear the event, record the event. So, and good luck going on toward the future.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming so far.
So far as in so far it's so good or so far distance? A little of both, probably.
Yes, yes.
Well, Will Brown, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio, and congratulations on last year's victory. I guess you're the first official award-winning home brewer in Mississippi, huh?
That's correct.
What did you brew?
I brewed an IPA. It was a base with two-row. It had a little bit of 60 Love thrown in there. And I hopped it with six different type of hops, Amarillo, Cascade, Centennial, Columbus, Simcoe, and I can't even remember the sixth one.
So how long have you been brewing?
I've been brewing for about 3.5 years now, I guess. I got started with a good friend when I was in Hattiesburg. He worked with a guy that was a home brewer himself, and he came and kind of taught us how to brew, and our first beer was an Imperial Stout, and it tasted really, really good, so I was pretty motivated from the start to keep at it, and then I kind of got obsessed with the hobby, so to speak.
So obsessed that now it's worked into a career, right?
That's correct.
What are you doing now?
Right now I'm brewing at Lazy Magnolia. I'm one of the other three brewers there. So now I get to take my hobby and do this every single day. So it's not bad at all.
So tell me about Lazy Magnolia for those who aren't familiar.
Lazy Magnolia is Mississippi's only production brewery. Our flagship beer is Southern Pecan, and it is an award-winning beer, and it's a very tasty brown ale. And we have four other beers that are year-round, and we are starting back doing seasonals now, which we have our seasonal this year fermenting away, so it should be in growler soon.
So what contribution have you been able to have at the brewery since you've been there?
Basically, I got there in the first couple months. It's been a nice learning experience. As far as contributions go, basically brewing the beer, small tweaks here and there, but we do try to keep them pretty consistent and tasting the same because that's what the customers expect.
I guess that's a departure from, are you a home brewer who likes to tweak and likes to play with the recipes and do something different every time?
Yes, I am, but the cool thing about working there is that we constantly do firkins that we take to events. And we get to get real creative with the firkins, so that's a very nice creative outlet that they give us. For example, I've done firkins with everything from a wheat ale with lavender and chamomile in it to firkins with bourbon-soaked oak chips in them. So it allows a lot of freedom and kind of lets my home brewer come out of me.
So you won't be completely frustrated by staying within the borders, within the lines there?
Yeah, that's right.
And who knows what may come out of the small batches. You may come out with another year-round beer that will be popular. So what does this event mean to you, or what did last year's event mean to you as a home brewer? Did it kind of legitimize your hobby, or did it mean, or am I just making too much about it?
I don't know. I always felt it was legitimate, even though it's technically illegal in the state. But, I think last year's homebrew competition was great. I think it's exactly what the state needed. We need more events to bring homebrewers together and to kind of get the word out there. And we need more people finding out about this. And I remember from last year's event, there was actually a couple that have never homebrewed before, and they just wanted to come check it out. And now they homebrew. So we actually have converted people into homebrewers. So now we have more people doing this great illegal activity in Mississippi.
You're corrupting all these fine, upstanding folks.
Right, right, right. That's what we love to do. We love to corrupt people.
No, were you intimidated at all? Knowing that, they call it the outlaw homebrew competition. Were you a little nervous at all coming out? And, did you think that the place was going to be raided or that you would get in trouble? Or
No, I didn't feel that way at all. I feel like at least here in Hattiesburg, and I know in Jackson too, they've had a homebrew competition recently in Madison, Mississippi, for example. And places like that, I don't think that it's really viewed as that bad of a thing. I don't think like the cops are gonna come in and bust us or whatever. I never had that concern before.
Well, it can do nothing but good for the image of homebrewing to have an event like this where it's all out in the open and nobody's sneaking around in the basement or trying to hide things. I guess this year you're a judge, right?
That's correct.
So you're going to judge the final round this year?
Yes, I'll be judging the overall winner along with a couple other people this year.
Well, that's going to be exciting. I mean, going from it's been quite a year this past year.
Yeah, it has. It's been nice. Kind of feels like you're on a kind of a path upwards, so to speak.
Well, excellent. Well, congratulations on the way things are going. I hope they keep going up.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And now, so let's don't butcher that.
Now we got the police. See, the police are coming already.
Yeah, Luke was right. We're all going to get arrested.
What's going on?
They're just bringing donuts.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sirens at the Outlaw Homebrew Festival is not the best sign. You guys introduce yourselves.
Lucas Simmons.
Brad Lovejoy.
Chris McNeese.
Now, what is, you guys are combining running and beer? Is that the deal?
Yes.
That's it. We are running from Emerald Coast Beer Festival 2011 to 2012. Our rules so far are 1 mile per day minimum, 1 beer per day minimum, with 1,000 miles between festivals.
Wow. So you have to run every day, and you have to accumulate 1,000 miles at the end of the year. Is that the deal?
That's the case so far. We started with a small group, and it's sort of been infectious and spread, and the group's getting larger and larger by the day.
Now I'm with you on the beer part. what inspired all this?
Basically, Tim from Draft Magazine, he did a beer runner challenge from his 29th birthday to his 30th birthday, and just the coolness of that whole idea. You know, we decided we want to do something similar, and Emerald Coast was around the corner, so we decided that would be a great time to start and stop the challenge, and then that's where the name Coast to Coast came from.
So is it a matter of burning off the calories or burning off the carbs from the beer, or
No, I mean, we all do a lot of running. We're always looking to challenge ourselves a little bit more, and we all love to drink beer, so it just kind of made sense to, you know, start it up. And these guys told me about it, and I, hey, why not? Let's go for it.
So, is it, I mean, what's the biggest challenge of that? I mean, you guys, luckily, living in Mississippi, it's you know, warmish year-round, so... Or warmer than other places, so that helps. You guys have more good weather than other places.
Biggest challenge sometimes is getting the beer in every day.
Really?
Yeah, because running's pretty easy, and the minimum. But you know, a lot of days we'll run 10 miles a day instead of just the one. And but sometimes I kind of been down the past day or two being a little bit sick, so having to get out there and run sick kind of wasn't what I wanted to do, but it varies. Sometimes it's don't feel like a beer. Sometimes I don't feel like running. So a little of both.
Again, the beer part I would have no problem with.
Yeah.
But you guys have also you're having another homebrew competition coming up, right?
Right. We're hosting the state's first actual AHA BJCP sanctioned competition in the state. These competitions are great, and I love them, and I go to all of them that they have. But ours will have the distinction of being actually sanctioned, and we are bringing in certified BJCP judges to judge the event. So it's kind of a milestone for the state, but it's not at all to take anything away from these guys, because it's building on what they've done. We wouldn't have been able to do it without the momentum that they've started. So.
And you're going to start off small, is that right?
We are. We're doing limiting it to Category 10 American Ale and the three subcategories under that one, and also Category 13, which is Stout. And I believe there's 5 subcategories. So any of those, and we expect probably around 40 entries. It's just Mississippi homebrewers this year, so it's reaching out. It's bringing together a lot of brewers who don't know each other necessarily. So we're it's kind of helping us find and meet and have an opportunity to kind of build some bridges, and so we can be more mobilized to work on things that need to be done here in Mississippi.
And how important is it that you guys get together? I mean, it seems like to me that anything that you can do to raise the awareness helps, right?
Absolutely. So far, we've had our homebrew club, which is the Homebrew Association of Middle Mississippi, and with these festivals, we've gotten together with Lucky Town Brewery, and that's been tremendous to get you know, two local organizations together, we've been able to, you know, just use that to propel our momentum forward to get the interest generated, both in what we're doing with the running thing, the homebrew competitions and everything. So it's been, you know, just a tremendous help to get everyone together.
And Lucky Town Brewery is a new entity?
Yeah, yes, sir. We actually won this competition last year in the overall high gravity and decided to go forward from there and go towards being pro. So we're in the midst of clearing the red tape so we can be sold legally in the state, which is, it's a big thing for us, but it's also a big thing for to keep competitions like this going on, to keep awareness of craft beer, get more people loving it, get more people home brewing, get more people, you know, drinking good beer. And so, you know, we love supporting this. We support HBAM and everything they do, and so it's a good partnership for us.
Awesome. Amen, brother. So where can they is it being publicized, how people can learn about the competition?
Yeah, the entry form and the, you know, details about the competition are at hbamm.org, hbamm.org. And that we have we tweet it. We have a Facebook event page. They can follow us on Twitter at HBAM, or they can go to the Facebook page to get more details. But like I said, it's, you know, open to anybody in Mississippi. You know, not pro brewers, but any. Because one of the guys here asked if he could enter. Like, I'm not sure. That may not be fair. But open to any other amateur guys, you know, in Mississippi. So we'd love them to come out. We're going to have a great party that day for the brewers while the judges are doing the judging. So we're going to have barbecue, everybody's bringing beer. It's going to be a great time. So it'll be a good festival. So
awesome. Well, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Well, Butch Bailey from Raise Your Pints, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, how are things going? I mean, last time we talked, bring us up to speed.
Okay, I think we talked in the winter last year during the Mississippi legislative session, and that session was really difficult for us. It was the last session before an election year. So, of course, we knew that going in, but you still have to be in the fight. You know, you got to get out there and make your pitch. This year, we've been working ever since then. All spring, all summer, we'll be working it all through the fall while the legislators are at home in their district. That's when you really make progress. And we have been making a tremendous amount of progress. Things look really good for us. We feel like we're exactly where we want to be. We're right on track. Not making predictions because politics are, you know, it's politics. But I think at this point, it's looking good unless something bad happens to throw us off. For both of our issues, which will be raising the permissible alcohol content in beer from 5% by weight to 8% by weight. So basically by volume, we'll go from 6.2 to about 10.1. And then homebrewing. And what we're going to aim for is making the homebrewing law actually better than the winemaking law in Mississippi. Currently, you can make wine at home in Mississippi up to 200 gallons per adult, up to 400 gallons per household, but you basically can't remove it from that household. You got to brew it and consume it right. They can't take it anywhere. Now, we could do the same thing with beer, but then that wouldn't allow for homebrew competitions. Technically, you couldn't take it to a friend's house. So what we're going to try to do is word that so that it would enable homebrew competitions and things like that.
So they raised the cap in Alabama last year, right?
That's right.
Is that making any impact on you guys?
Yeah, actually it is. It helps. It's not everything we need, but it does help when you can say, because Mississippi and Alabama are very similar in a lot of ways. And when we can go to the legislature and say, you know, every adjoining state has already done this, has a much higher cap or no cap. They do not have higher incidence of DUI per capita or drunk driving. I mean, team drinking and things like that. So if you say Mississippians can't handle it, my response is you're basically saying Mississippians aren't as responsible as Alabamians or aren't as mature as people in Tennessee. And I don't think that's going to fly. I mean, other states have already done it and there's been no negative impacts, basically just increased revenue without raising taxes. So if they can do it, I feel like Mississippi can too.
You could throw Arkansas in there too, you know.
That's right.
If we can handle it. So what's the next step? I mean, are you still asking people to contact their legislators and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's what matters. There's an old saying in Mississippi, we have a part-time legislature that meets from January to April. And technically, they're not working. They're supposed to be, the way it works, they're supposed to be at home being regular people the rest of the year. But the old saying is bills get passed in the summer in Mississippi. That's when it matters. So, yes, I mean, if you live in Mississippi, if you own a business in Mississippi, if you work there, contact your local representative and senator. You can find out how to reach them on RaiseYourPints.com. and just be respectful and say, look, this is an issue that's important to me. This is why we should pass it. But right now what we're doing is basically that. And we have professional lobbyists working out of Jackson. And that's what it's about. It's a lot of, you know, taking them out to dinner. It's a lot of buying cocktails. It's old-fashioned campaigning, basically. And that's what we'll be doing now through the end of the year. And then when the session starts, it's really more for show. And you still have a lot of work to do, but we've got to do it now too.
Well, good luck.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Benjamin Green.
Benjamin Green, and what?
AKA Ben Green.
Ben Green, and what club are you with, or are you with a club?
Not really. Just a loyal here at Keg and Barrel. Come up here, you know, do the beer club up here, and just started homebrewing a couple years ago. Really enjoy it. So.
And now go through all the things that stack there that you got, ending with that top one there.
Okay. Well, I got first place in the wheat category. It was a German Hefe, and I added Valencia, sweet oranges, a little bit of raspberry to it. Turned out really great. A lot of people responded really well to it. I was really surprised about that one, actually. I was pretty nervous about that one. And then the Pale Ale. Got first place in the Pale Ale. It's for my... It's actually an extra pillow. That's what I'm calling it. It's really hoppy. It's called Stranger Danger. So that won me first place, and then that carried me on to the People's Choice Award. Everybody enjoyed it out here, really liked it, and apparently the judges really liked it because I went overall with it as well. So.
Yeah, wow. They could have just saved some time with all the official judging and just gone with the people, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I really enjoyed it, and I mean, there was a lot of good beers out here today, and I just feel really fortunate to have the opportunity to share my beers with everybody and everybody to enjoy them. So it's a good time.
So give us the secret to the pale ale.
A lot of love, a lot of dry hopping. Late hop additions.
What hops did you use?
Chinook, all bittering. Dry hopped it with some Citra and did some late additions late in the boil at flame out with some Citra. And just loaded up on the dry hopping, man. That's what I like to do. So
awesome. Well, you got to be riding high. Congratulations.
I am. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Well, congratulations to Ben. And I sampled his beers, and they were wonderful, by the way. Of course, all those beer judges and the entire population of the festival, they have good taste. And it's always great to taste good homebrew. And there were other beers that, were there that didn't get recognized that were good as well. So the competition must have been really competitive. All right, I've saved a little bit of fun for last. The festival was held on a dirt lot, and I was talking to Sam's wife, Carrie, who was wearing flip-flops. And because her feet were getting dirty, Carrie complained of having grocery store feet. Now, I'm from Arkansas, which is pretty far down south, not as far south as Mississippi, but that was a new one on me. I'd never heard that. So later that evening, I decided to follow up with Carrie about grocery store feet.
Carrie Searles, what's wrong with your feet?
I do have the grocery store's feet. I do believe I have the grocery store feet.
Twice today, from you and Ben Green, the winner of the homebrew competition, both of you said you had grocery store feet. What the heck is grocery store feet?
We have the dirt between our toes. It's gross.
Now, would a compliment to the grocery store feet be the granny necklace?
It would be the dirt road. The dirt road. There's no granny necklace. There's no granny beads. It's the dirt road.
Granny beads. I'm sorry. Yeah, I used to get the granny beads when I was a kid, but I did not get the grocery store
check
feet.
Check your neck right now. You got the granny beads. You've been out in the dust with me all day.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, thank you for that clarification. I'm sure that'll be added to the dictionary soon.
Thank you, James Spencer.
Well, a quick Google search. I did a quick Google search when I got home, and there is actually a blog out there called Granny Beads and Grocery Store Feet. So it is a real thing. Man, I played in the dirt a lot when I was a kid. And growing up in Arkansas, I did get the granny beads, which is when dirt collects in that wrinkle in your neck when you're a kid. But I don't remember getting grocery store feet. I'll have to ask my family if we had the grocery store feet too. Do kids today even get dirty? I don't know. If anything, they get Xbox thumbs or something like that. I don't know. Thanks again to John and Sam and everybody down in Hattiesburg. I had a blast, and I learned a lot. And if you drop by the Keg and Barrel, be sure to tell them that you heard about it here. And say hi to John and Sam if they're around, and sample some of their nano brews down there. I had some, and it was tasty. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, just write to james@basicbrewing.com or fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time. And you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com. And if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link and our Amazon.co.uk link. We appreciate the support. Our featured products this week that were purchased through those links are Rick Steves Travel Gear, Clothesline, White, and Heston Blumenthal at Home. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping, and we appreciate your support. And don't forget that you can also join the American Homebrewers Association or subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through the associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dunson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long. Take care of those grocery store feet.